Before I get started, I really want to just talk a little bit about the spirit realm and the reality of the spirit realm. And I really want you to stay alert this morning because you're going to pick something up that's going to really help you, I believe, for the rest of your life. The spirit realm is real. God is real. The devil is real. Angels, and demons are real. And the sooner we wake up to this, the better. Because actually, we've chosen to put ourselves on the winning side, haven't we? Praise God. And because of that, we have authority over powers of darkness. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But we just need to believe it. We need to believe it and we need to use it. So the spirit realm is real. And the effects of the spirit realm in this natural world are very evident. Light overcomes darkness. You know, we've just read some praise reports this morning. We pray and we see evidence of God at work. But also, we see evidence of the devil and the demonic realm. We can read about it. We hear about it on the news daily. This kind of uprising and conflict that's happening again in the Middle East. It's the spirit realm. You know, spiritual activity. There's actually a program on tonight. I don't recommend you watch it, but I just happened to see a trailer for it. And it's about a 22-year-old man, British man, who last month in May in America went on an absolute frenzy, killed 16 students and injured 13 others. And it basically saw in this little clip the other day, that he said he heard voices in his head telling him what to do and how to do it. Who are these voices? Demons. It's demonic. It's birthed in the spirit, in the demonic realm. And really, we need to live aware of the spirit realm. We need to sharpen our focus. Pastor Judith last weekend actually said we need to put God's glasses on. You know, we need to see things not just physically and naturally, but spiritually. Recognize that behind the scenes, there's spiritual powers at work. And it's a bit like weeds in a garden. If I could have the next slide. We can all see what's above the ground, can't we? We can all see the dandelion or the thistle or the whatever it is, the nettle. But actually, it's the root that causes it to grow. We have a concrete drive with cracks in. And no matter how often we pull those pesky weeds out, they seem to grow up overnight. You know, you pull them up within, I don't know, it feels like 24 hours. It's probably a week. But, you know, they just grow back and they seem to be bigger and worse than before. And, you know, if we don't deal with the root, we won't see permanent change. That's exactly how it is in the spirit realm. We live in the natural. We see what's visible. You know, we can see marriage problems. We can see mental illness. We can see sickness. All these issues that affect people, you know, but the roots are actually in the unseen. Like that weed, you can't see the roots are in the ground. That's how the spirit realm and the natural realm is. Any ugly, wicked thing that we can see in the natural realm, the roots are in the spirit. If all we do is address what we can see, we never see permanent change. And so we need to employ God's ways. Really address issues as God tells us to. Last week, Pastor Judith spoke on the power in praise and releasing a victory shout. Do you remember that? We stood and we released a victory shout over our circumstances. And it doesn't make sense to our head. And sometimes your emotions might struggle with it because it doesn't make sense to our head. But hey, if it brings God in on the scene, if it changes things, let's do it. Let's just do it. You know, let's be spiritually minded and show the devil who's boss. And I just want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you need to show the devil who's boss. The problem with a lot of Christians are that they can be too intellectual and too complacent. Because of that, they don't deal with the enemy. They take everything naturally. And then the devil runs riot. And there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 that says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who does he devour? Non-Christians. And also unspiritual Christians. I'm not saying if you're attacked in some way that you're unspiritual. But if you're attacked by the enemy in some way and you only address it naturally, then you're unspiritual. And the enemy will take advantage. So we need to go to the root. We need to address things spiritually. Not that we become devil focused. That would be a big mistake. We're not following him, we're following Jesus. But I'm just saying, when issues crop up, we need to not just be naturally minded, we need to be spiritually minded, and really use the authority that we've been given. He that is in us is greater. Just say that out loud. He that is in me is greater. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah, it's right at the end of the Old Testament, I think a couple of books before the end. We started with grace this morning, and we're going to continue with grace. That kind of detour that we did, though, it's an important detour because we need to have our eyes open to the spirit realm. To deal with the enemy, we need to have our eyes open to the spirit realm. And actually, to receive from God, we need to have our eyes open to the spirit realm. So, the message really that I want to bring this morning, it's been really fresh to me. And there's power in this. You know, it's been real revelation to me, and I'm hoping that hoping and believing that I will communicate it in a way that it will be life to you and you will catch it and it will equip you. I actually believe the message here has the power to change your life. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's really a secret, I believe, to bringing the power of God to bear on your circumstances. So we're going to read from verse 6, Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." I'm going to read that again. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to you. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, "Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a level plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Now I know most of us in this room know verse 6, the not by might, not by power. We know it and we can probably quote it. But actually, I want to focus on verse 7 because I believe in this verse, there's like a miracle formula. There's a secret that God wants to put in your spirit. So when you face obstacles and challenges, you've got this like an arsenal in your spirit. You have faith to release the grace of God to them. So we're going to do a quick recap on grace. The word grace, as you know, means the unearned favor of God. Grace is the unearned favor of God. Or the power of God. When the Apostle Paul spoke about grace in Ephesians, he said it's the effective working of God's power. Think about this in your own personal life. Grace to you is the power of God in your life. You know, in the book of Acts, when they prayed for boldness, what happened? The place actually shook. The room that they were meeting in shook. The power of God was released. And it actually says, great grace was upon them. How did grace manifest itself? Power. If this building started to shake, that would get our attention. You know? The power of God became absolutely evident to them. And for sure, they had boldness. They went out, they preached the word with signs and wonders following. And great grace was upon them. So grace really is a transfer of the power of God to you, to your body, to your soul, to your spirit, to your circumstances. And I want to identify four types of grace this morning. The first one, if we could start with the first one, I'm going to talk about saving grace. Keep your finger or your ribbon, some sort of marker in Zechariah, because we're going to be going back there. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Going to do a little Bible study this morning because it's good for us. Tell the person next to you this is good for you. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's grace that saves us. How did you get saved? Your own efforts? Did you work hard enough to deserve it? Never. Never did, never could. the grace of God that saves us. Number two, the next one, justifying grace. Turn to Romans 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." All of us have missed the mark. All of us have missed God's standards because of our sin. But if we repent, turn around, you know, say sorry for our sin, turn away from it, walk away and ask God to forgive us. He forgives our sin and his grace justifies us. To be justified, the word means just as if you never sinned. In God's eyes, if you repent, that sin is cleared, that the account is cleared, you're back in credit, and it's just as if you never sinned. Amazing. Amazing. Third one is teaching grace. Turn to Titus chapter 2, just before Hebrews. Titus 2 and verse 11. And it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Grace teaches us to live righteously. Grace teaches us to live soberly. When people say, "I'm under grace, I can live anywhere I want to," that's not grace they're under. That's the deception of the enemy who is looking to ensnare people. All of us. You know, you might think, "Oh, it's just that." But look, he's trying to ensnare you and get you into a trap of sin that separates you from God and every good thing. And the Bible says, "Make no provision for the flesh." If you're tempted, run. Like Joseph, run. Get away from that thing. Grace teaches us and convicts us to live holy, consecrated lives in this life. Grace gives you the power to walk away from who you used to be. What a miracle. What an absolute miracle. You know, those habitual sins that used to kind of trap you and hinder you and trip you. Grace gives you the power to break that cycle and walk in freedom by the power of God. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We can live in the power of the new creation if we want to. Works with our will. We need to choose the will of God, but as soon as we choose the will of God, power of God kicks in to enable us. Raise your hand if you've experienced that. I'm sure all of you have. Praise God for his grace. It's not a cover for sin, but it empowers us to live right. Finally, number four, enabling grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sure we all know and love this scripture. Paul was talking, chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul was talking about the thorn in his flesh, if you remember. Something or someone that was a constant challenge to him. And it says he prayed three times for the Lord to remove it. And God's response was, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Paul, my grace is enough for you in this situation. You're finding it hard. Here's my power to deal with it. God didn't remove the issue, but he gave him his power to overcome it. Sometimes God does remove the challenges, but other times he gives us his grace to overcome, his enabling grace, and it's powerful. It equips us to do what we couldn't do before. You know, so many things in my life, I've cried out for the grace of God, and he's given me his power, and I find that I can do it actually easily. It's remarkable. What used to really be a struggle, by the grace of God, I can do easily. His grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in our weakness. We just need to actually admit, I'm weak. I'm failing at this, God. I need your help. But, you know, that attitude of humility, that coming to God and asking for help, he loves to meet us at that point of need. Give his grace to the humble so that we can face mountains in his strength and overcome them. Now, there's a picture of a moody mountain for you. I typed in Moody Mountain on Google. There it is, Moody Mountain. Kind of sinister looking. It's kind of intimidating. And mountains, they look immovable, don't they? That doesn't look as though it's going anywhere fast. It looks as though it's impossible to change. And, you know, they come to us and they stop us. You know, something happens and a mountain crops up. It's intimidating. And it speaks. But if you go back to Zechariah, told you to keep your finger there or your ribbon. Go back, Zechariah chapter 4. Zerubbabel actually started speaking to this mountain. It says in verse 11, he actually says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before me, you will become a level plain." Who taught us to speak to mountains? Jesus, didn't he? Just have a keep your ribbon there. Go to Mark chapter 11. This word is absolutely relevant for you and absolutely essential that you catch it in your spirit and apply it to your life. These are not just figures of speech. It's appropriate for your life because mountains appear in all of our lives. Not a mountain like that, obviously. That's not going to pitch up outside your front door. But a mountain in your circumstances, you know, in your thoughts, practically. Problems that just seem huge and looming, like, I can't get over this. What on earth am I going to do? They're mountains. Mountains in Scripture describe huge problems, things that look impossible to change or immovable. And we all face them at different points. Jesus says here, Mark 11, and we'll go from verse 20. "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" He must have been so excited at this point, you know. Flip. His words did that. He spoke and, look, I'm seeing it with my own eyes. So Jesus answered verse 22 and said to them, "Have faith in God." Quite simply, God says to you this morning, have faith in God. "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Believe and speak. Believe and speak. Believe and don't stay silent. Speak. Okay, command the mountain to move. Because behind the mountain, there are demons. There's demonic power. The spirit realm is real. Behind every mountain that crops up in your life, there's something demonic, a strategy that's sent to trip you, take your energy, take your focus, take your strength, make you want to just lie down and wave a white flag. Demons have ears. That was a revelation to me. Do you remember when Jesus spoke to the man of Gadarenes, the demon-possessed man, and they cried out, you know, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Don't send us out of the country." I think that's quite interesting. It's a very interesting read, that story in Mark 5. "Don't send us out of the country. Send us into that herd of pigs." And Jesus spoke and basically said, "Go." They went out into the pigs. The pigs threw themselves over the cliff edge, drowned in the sea. But the point is, the demons spoke and the demons heard. In your life and my life, demons, they have a mouth, they speak. They intimidate, they discourage, they twist things, they deceive. But they also have ears. And when we command them in faith, they recognize, just like they recognize the authority of Jesus, they recognize the authority of believers. Superior authority. We have power over them. We just need to believe it and speak it. Because they are speaking to you. You can't do that. You're bound to fail. What on earth makes you think that you're going to succeed at that? What makes you think that you can, you know, even dare to step in that direction? You might as well throw in the towel now. But I am here to remind you that our God is stronger and greater than any demon, than any mountain that there is. And he doesn't just give us saving grace. He doesn't just give us justifying grace or teaching grace. He gives us enabling grace. grace to speak to the mountains and see them become level plains. Just close your eyes and say, thank you, Jesus, for enabling grace. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now, you need to know the background to Zechariah. You can read about it, not now, but in your own time, in Ezra chapters 4 and 5. It kind of fills in the gaps and gives you some understanding about what this mountain is. Zerubbabel was commissioned by God to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the walls, and the temple. And he actually started with the temple first. Wise man. You know, he thought, if we're going to get this thing done, we need to honor God and we need to build his house first. So they started with the temple. They laid the foundation, and then a mountain came up before him. It wasn't a physical mountain. It was a mountain of opposition. And you can read, basically, the enemy inspired people to go to the king and say, Zerubbabel is conspiring against you. If he manages to rebuild this city with its walls and its temple, he's not going to pay you taxes. He will dishonor you, and your treasury will diminish. So he gets the king turned against Zerubbabel and what Zerubbabel was doing. And so what happened was, this is a mountain of opposition. Work on the temple actually stopped for 16 years. 16 years. But then the Lord sent the angel to remind Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, hey, I've not forgotten you. I've not changed my mind about what I've called you to. What I've called you to start, I give you the grace to finish. Your hands laid the foundation. Your hands will finish it. And it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then he sent the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And you can read it there in verse 7. Just turn back to Zechariah. They actually said to Zerubbabel, go get the capstone. At the end of verse 7, and you need to shout, grace, grace to it. Bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now the capstone is the final stone that you put on the building when the job's done. The final thing, the thing that completes the building. So the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel, don't just stand there in all the mess and the rubble with all the dust kind of looking, thinking, is this ever going to get finished? Go and get the capstone. Look at the capstone. Picture the job being finished. God wants us to keep our eyes on the finish line. The enemy wants us to look at it and think, this is a mountain. How am I ever going to, you know? But the Lord says, go get the capstone. Keep your eyes on the promise. And you may have started something in God, led by the Spirit, and everything around you looks like a mess. It looks like rubble. It looks like it's never going to change. You know, it just is nothing like you thought it would be. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's believing a promise. You've taken it up, but it just looks like a mess. And the enemy wants you to look at the natural. And he wants you to lose heart. He wants you to give up. But the word of the Lord to you today is the same as the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And that word is, begin again. Begin again. Dream again. Hope again. Pray again. Reach again. Begin again. Just turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to begin again. Those maybe just kind of flickering embers in your spirit of something that you've carried for a long time, it's time to stir them up. It's time to pray. It's time to get back to the promise, to go to the capstone. The capstone actually represents Jesus, the word, the promise. It's time to get focused again on the capstone. What he started, he will finish. It actually says about Moses that he forsook Egypt because he looked to the reward. He endured seeing him who is invisible. The reason he resisted temptation is because he kept the reward, the promise, before him. But then there's an important second part to this, isn't there? He didn't just say, go get the capstone. He said, shout to the capstone. Grace, grace, okay? Shout, grace, grace to the situation. You need to shout grace, grace to your mountains. to the things that are coming up against you. Okay, it makes no sense to the natural mind, but remember the spirit realm is real. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when you're shouting grace, grace to something, you're actually releasing the power of God. God lives in you. The power of God is in you. It's like a catalyst. You know, it's like you're releasing an atomic bomb in the spirit. It's setting things in motion. And this is the revelation that I've really had. That there's things that I've prayed about for a long time. And I just need to shout grace, grace to them in faith. Okay? We need to shout grace, grace to every sickness. Grace, grace to every addiction. Grace, grace to every debt. You know, you will become a level plane before me. And we need to open our mouths and shout grace, grace to things. Like David before Goliath, you come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Grace, grace, said David. I loose the power of God at you, Goliath. Boff, he fell. And this is more than just a figure of speech, because God lives in us. Come on, folks, we either believe it or we don't. If God lives in us, we need to release what's on the inside. As you shout grace, grace, you're releasing the internal power of God to change your external reality. Challenges at work? You need to shout grace, grace to them. You know, tomorrow morning when you walk in, you might just need to utter under your breath, grace, grace. Or at lunchtime, go out to your car, grace, grace. Go for a walk. Grace, grace to that situation. I loose the power of God to work on these things. Rebellious children, whatever their age, teenagers, even adults, you need to shout grace, grace to them. Not at them, because it's not their ears that need to hear it. It's the demons inspiring them. Grace, grace to every sickness. Grace, grace to every depression. Grace, grace to every mountain of fear. Grace, grace to that marriage that has problems. Grace, grace. Just say out loud, grace, grace. Okay. How many of you here need a mountain to move? You've got a problem. You need God to do a miracle. Just raise your hand. Okay. You need to shout grace, grace to those things. Really, I'm telling you, it works. I've done it. I'm going to share a testimony with you at the end. But if the power of God is released by our shouting, then shout. Get over your inhibitions and your feeling silly. Shout. Okay? If you've had a promise from God that you've not seen fulfilled yet, and the enemy's, you know, did God really say? Are you sure it was God? Look at your circumstances. Yes, look at the circumstances, but not look at the circumstances, poor me. Look at the circumstances and grace, grace to the circumstances. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. Now, I want you, in your mind, to picture that mountain. Okay, that problem, that intimidating thing. Maybe it's not such a big thing. Maybe it's just a small thing. But it's like irritating. You know, there's a scripture that says it's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Sometimes it's just the little things, but they're relentless. And we can tolerate them and we shouldn't. Okay, so whatever issues that you are facing that are speaking to you, remember, he that is in you is greater. The power of God is in you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And we're going to shout at these mountains. If you don't have anything, if you're racking your brain thinking, I can't think of a single thing that I'm troubled with at the moment, God bless you and praise God. At this point then, I want you to loose grace, grace to our vision as a church. God has promised us we are an exceedingly great army. So if you don't have a problem, I want you to shout grace, grace to our vision, okay? And for the next few seconds, picturing those problems, those promises, whatever it is, we are going to shout grace, grace. We're not going to do it once. We're going to do it over and over. But just believe as you shout, you're releasing the power of God, okay? If it helps you to close your eyes, close your eyes. But let's shout grace, grace. Let's go. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Yes, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you're the great one. We acknowledge you're the savior of the world. We acknowledge you are the greater authority in every situation. You're always the winning soldier on every battlefield. And Lord, our confidence is in you. And we thank you. It's not by might or by power, but it is by your Spirit. And we honor you. And we say before us, these mountains will become level plains. In the name of Jesus, just thank him. Just thank him for his grace now released to that situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're believing believers, Jesus. We're speaking to mountains like you told us to. And we thank you that because we believe in our heart, those mountains will be moved for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, take your seats just for a moment. Now this, you know, it's not just a one-off. It needs to become part of the way you do life, you know, as led by the Spirit, part of your prayer life, even part of your conversations. Pastor Judith and I, as we talk about the church and kind of challenges to the vision, one of us will just say grace, grace to it. Grace, grace to that backslidden believer. Grace, grace to every empty chair. Grace, grace to the finances, you know. And you can shout it, you can speak it, but we just need to loose the grace of God to things. I just really exhort you, believe in the spirit realm because it is real. The whole world was created through God speaking. And we need to let God out of our mouths. Not be a voice for the enemy. Let God out. Let the power of God out. I just want you to share with the person next to you then, whatever that thing was, just share with them the mountain that it was that you had just loosed grace, grace to. Just for a moment. I just want you to say to them now, before me, that thing is going to become a level plane. Just declare it by faith. Grace, grace. Grace, grace. Grace, grace. Now, I just quickly want to share a testimony before we finish. This week, my mum phoned me. And she was in a bit of a panic. She said, my temperature's 39. That's high, isn't it? You know, 38, apparently it's you're feverish. It was 39. And I said, okay, mum, you know, I've just been reading, praise God, whoever speaks to this mountain and commands it be moved, believes in your heart, commands it be moved, whatever you say will be done for you. So I spoke, I kind of shared that with us, and together we commanded that this mountain of sickness go. She took she's got one of those, put it in your ear. Thermometers. So she said, while I'm on the phone, I'll put it in the other ear. She put it in her ear. The temperature had gone down. Okay, it gone down. Praise God. Gone down to 37, I think it was. 37-ish. On the 37 scale, anyway. The next day, same thing happens. She phones me. My temperature's 39. And I just thought to myself, do you know what? This isn't sickness. We've commanded sickness to go. And in the course of the conversation, I discovered that her temperature started to climb and the thought had come to her head, I'm going to end up in hospital. Just these thoughts, I'm going to end up in hospital. She'd actually been in hospital a month or so ago and she just thought the same thing's going to happen again. And anxiety had just caused her temperature to keep on, you know. And so I said, it was a little bit of tough love actually, but it worked. And basically if it works, we need to speak. And I just said, Mum, you're talking like a victim. You're thinking like a victim. He that is in you is greater. You have the power of God in you. And you need to speak to your mind and tell it to stop. You need to actually command your body and tell your body what to do. You don't need to just be sitting there thinking, I wonder what's going to happen. You know, I wonder if it's just going to keep on climbing. You need to tell your body what to do. And I've said this to her before, but this time she really caught it. Anyway, I put the phone down and I was doing the dishes and I stood at the sink and I stood there. I actually had the blinds open. I don't know whether my neighbor saw me or not, but I started shouting, grace, 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 grace to you. Mountain of fear, grace, grace. I loose the power of God at you in the name of Jesus. 20 minutes later, she phoned me up, 36.9. Okay? And you know, it's been down ever since. And I think it's a combination of the fact she's got a revelation, she needs to command her body, and the power of God has been loose. Grace, grace. You know, look, it's a key. It works for anything, any situation. Kids, finances, sickness, grace, grace. Fear, grace, grace, in the name of Jesus. Look, if you do it, grace, grace, if you just do it parrot fashion, to be honest, it's not going to change a lot. But if you do it in faith, release through your mouth, levels mountains. Let's stand to our feet.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.